This episode of The Instance is brought to you by Doghouse Systems at doghousesystems.com. Up your game today at doghousesystems.com.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 521 for April 20th.
420.
420.
521 on 420. Yeah. We are 101 more dank than we legally should be.
Is that the deal? Do you guys...
is the deal.
In the UK, do you celebrate the 420?
Well, it's our date format's the other way around. So we do 24... 18.
Oh, right.
Whereas you're 4/20/18, which obviously, and equally, it's only 4/20 because that's what the police say. Oh, we got a 4/20. We got some youth getting high on marijuana. Whereas for us, I don't know if our police have codes. They probably do, but I doubt they're the same codes.
Is it legal for me? Can I get pot recreationally in London if I wanted to? Is that a thing?
No. Okay. No, not legally. Yeah. I mean, you can get it, of course, because no one cares.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not legal. I'm going to Seattle next week, and it's legal there. Obviously, being a responsible adult, I'm going to make sure that I avoid all of those establishments.
Man, you spend a lot of time in the U.S. this last year and a half.
I do. I'm trying to become an American. But they won't let me.
Okay.
Because apparently I'm like, hey, buddy, I'm walking here. And they're like, not quite. Yeah. So you're not keep trying.
You're not quite walking here. Yeah.
Your American accent is just a goblin impression.
That's right.
Wonderful. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you're just
friends.
Yeah, you're just Gazlo. That's all. They don't want.
No, that's all it is.
If there's one thing America doesn't need more of, more Gazlo types. I'm telling you.
Oh, well.
No offense.
Spoke to your commander in chief. He was very interested in some of my deals.
Yeah.
Oh, so
yeah?
We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see where you're going with that. So that's Terpster. He's back. He's here today. Also with us, Garrett. Garrett Weinzerl, everybody. Florida's own. What's going on?
This is gonna be tough. I just realized I find Terpster too funny. I think I'm just gonna spend most of this podcast laughing.
That happens. Happens.
Well,
happens to me.
I too find me very funny, but I manage.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we're gonna get through it together.
Yeah.
It's gonna be beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm excited to finally be back on The Instance for a show.
Yeah.
Before probably not on for ages.
You've
as
been
well.
Very busy. You were at the BAFTAs last week. How was that?
Oh, that was amazing. That was really good. I was hanging out with Player Unknown, Brendan Green, and so he was. We were chatting about his game.
Do you call him Poo for short? Poo, just P U Poo.
Pubga.
Pubga.
We just call him Brendan.
Brendan.
Really? Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's not. He's like when you see him as well. He's very. He's not very incognito. I guess he is. He's very generic. But, if he was, generic player, Battlegrounds,
right.
That could work.
Hold
on,
you mean
he doesn't just walk around everywhere he goes with a level 3 helmet on with the blast shield down?
No.
I think he should. He has the money. Honestly could.
He's got a pan. He's got a cooking pan hanging on his ass. Can I ask you this, though? When you're hanging around a guy like that, I know you well enough to know there's no way you don't spend any time with him and not bring up Fortnite and its weird rise to power. You have to do that.
Oh yeah, 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 of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what does he say?
We were talking about his mobile. He's very diplomatic, and the thing is they have different audiences.
Yeah.
So as much as if you go on Twitch now, the most streamed game will be Fortnite.
Right.
PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is still going to be second or third. And it's the Battlegrounds players are not Fortnite players and vice versa.
Right.
Fortnite is chiefly non-gamers and kids. And then a portion of enthusiast gamers. It's very, very, very mainstream.
Right.
Battlegrounds is still very much a sort of a hardcore, passionate PC and now Xbox shooter.
Sure.
I think both games are fantastic, but I think they're very different as well.
Right. But you got to admit, Fortnite, which was mired in will this ever launch? It's changing
I mean, Fortnite was a zombie horde survival thingy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously Epic have the engine that Battlegrounds was built in.
Yeah.
And so they had to make a lot of changes to make Battlegrounds work. So they then also had quite a robust Battlegrounds Battle Royale engine that they could, you know, use and utilize in their own game as well.
Now, do you, okay, all this said, we've talked about this back and forth a little bit on this show without you. So now I need to get your opinion. Is there any room? Well, first of all, is it even in Blizzard's MO to do this? But is there any room for Blizzard to respond to this
late.
Trend?
They could crap out an Overwatch Battle Royale,
yeah.
and it would do okay. Mm. You know, just with that sort of aesthetic, those characters, the world. You know, I could see people enjoying it. Would it be a Blizzard title? No.
Yeah.
No, Blizzard is all about playing games, and it's what are they all playing all the time anyway. So if you go to lunchtime at the Blizzard HQ, what are they playing?
Mm-hmm.
And why are they playing it? And also then when they sit down, why do they love it and hate it? And those bits they hate, how can they improve on it to make it a Blizzard game?
Well, how about my idea, which I still maintain is a good one, 100 junk, mm-hmm. 100 junk rats enter, one leaves.
What do you think? I like it.
You like junk. Where we're going?
Junk town, junk royale.
Junker, royal junk. I don't know what it is.
Royal junker.
I like royal junk.
Crown jewels.
Royal junk is what the king has. He's got some royal junk down there. Prince Philip, sorry. He's not a king, is he? Yeah. Isn't he a prince? Whatever.
No, we don't have any kings.
Yeah, you know, what's the deal? How does Britain function without a king, a proper king? You got the queen there.
Sexist, Scott. We have a very capable queen. So I don't think we need a king, thank you very much.
Yeah.
But when she pops it, we are going to have a series of kings.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of men lined up. And then if they all tragically die, then we've got Megan Wasserface from Suits could be a queen.
Mm.
But a lot of people need to die first. So, we'll see.
Early conspiracy theories going on there. Well, all right.
Who knows?
It's just an interesting thing to see the gaming world. And the reason I think this is important from a Blizzard point of view is I read some numbers.
Blizzard won. They won the Overwatch, won a BAFTA.
Oh, yeah, they did win a BAFTA, didn't they?
Multiplayer.
Yeah, nice
and
job.
I think Player Unknowns was up for it as well. And I know the guys, so in the Blizzard UK office, it's a huge team of two people and an intern, so three people. Mm. And so the two main guys were there, and we were joking around before, and BAFTA's, if you're going to win a BAFTA, the organizers would often be like, so, you know, it's great you're coming. Who, if you were to win, who would be collecting the BAFTA? And so, like, Overwatch won the year before.
Yeah.
And so they kind of knew, and Jeff was there, and they had a couple of other guys from the team. And, you know, it was, you know, they were excited and they expected, you know, we got a big title. Blizzard's super humble. They won every award ever, but they still are very humble about it.
Yeah.
This year, there was no inquiry about who was coming along, anything like that. And they were up against Fortnite and PlayerUnknown's.
Yeah.
And so they were going into that category being like, well, it's nice to be nominated. You know, we're really pleased. I think it was, maybe it was Most Evolved Game.
Oh, yeah, it was the Most Evolved Game, meaning they upkeep it and make it awesome still all these years later and all
and
that.
And it was weird because, obviously, in terms of evolution, Rainbow Six Siege was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you talk about an evolution, that game was utter crap and is now spectacular.
Yeah.
You know, that feels like if you're going to award someone for evolving, like, wow, holy moly, good job, guys.
Yeah.
And equally, Fortnite, again, was a horde mode zombie survival game into the biggest and most popular game of now. But BAFTA, like, you can never guess because it's all arty people voting for, I don't know. Anyway, Overwatch won.
Yeah, and these two guys.
Crazy. The guys genuinely went up and they were like, well, Christ, yeah, you know, thanks. Dev team, we're super honored. Thanks to the players. Okay,
yeah,
good.
They looked really like, you know, Bill from accounting and Janice from the front office. Like, they really didn't look like anybody.
George, who's like the marketing guy, and Sam, who's the PR guy, and they are, as with a lot of Blizzard people, they are some of the nicest people you'll meet, because Blizzard can really pick who works for them. So if you're a tool, they're just like, nah, it's okay, the man.
Right.
We'll get a nice person.
Right.
So they've got people, and like, George has been there for ages, like, 10, 12 years. I forget. Sam's been there for 5 years.
Yeah.
And they're lovely guys. And it was great to see them go up because, in all fairness, they do a huge amount of work. And, you know, Blizzard has a huge amount of marketing people and sales people and community people and all these other guys around. Like Patrick, obviously, was in PR. Patrick would never get to go on stage and pick up an award because they would always send a developer along and all of these other things. And so it was great because it was something where genuinely they weren't expecting to win. Those two guys who deserve a little bit of kind of like, yeah, well done, guys. You put in a decade plus of your lives to this company. I like that. It was good to see them go out there. They got to hold the award, say a few words. Sam didn't, but George said some stuff. And yeah, that was nice.
Do you think here's a question, a little pop quiz. If Patrick were to accept an award on Blizzard's behalf, how much would he like the award? What would the term he would use on stage be for how much he likes that award?
Oh, he'd say, we're really, really, really pleased. All the players, all the developers, thank you. It's really surprising, really.
Lots of reallys in there.
Yeah,
exactly. It would be a really festival.
It is his second language, so we can't be too hard on him, really, can we?
Well, grats.
I don't even know what...
Now, he'd just be bragging about finally making it to platinum.
Yeah, he would be.
True. That's exactly true. That would be him up there, talking about evolution. Well, let me talk about evolution. Well, I used to be a silver player, but now I have evolved.
Yeah. He's Patrick 2.0, sure.
Exactly. Yeah. He's got a Patrick 2.0.
Yeah, he does, actually. He's out shopping with him right now, and apparently that's why he's late. Anyway, he may show up. I don't know. But we should dive into what's happening in, World of Warcraft. All right, the Dark Iron Dwarves and the Maghar, however you say them, orcs, are playable in the PTR, not in the game proper. So, yeah, if you're looking for getting your alpha all wet, that sounds dirty, hop in there and check out the Dark Iron Dwarves. Now, Terps, you wouldn't shut up about these Dark Iron Dwarves.
They're so good!
So you're going to...
They look amazing. They have one fault.
That they're the Alliance. Oh, what?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's literally that. Like, they should be Horde. They are too cool for the Alliance. They are so cool. They're the coolest looking guys out there.
How do we explain a comment like they're too cool for the Alliance to Alliance players? How do you justify that?
Look at all your other races in the Alliance and then look at the Dark Iron Dwarves and think, do they? No, they're too cool.
Fair enough.
They're so cool. They're grungy. They're all fiery. And their heritage armor is amazing. So, yeah, I cannot wait to roll one. They're very cool.
They're pretty cool. So we were talking last week, Garrett, about your decision to goof around a little bit in the Alliance side of things, this expansion. Are these a factor for you, this particular sub-race?
I'm Night Elf till the day I die. So, no. Never really been big on the dwarves.
Big on dwarves, get it? You can't be big on dwarves because they're dwarves. I get it. That's pretty good.
Fantasy dwarves, yes.
I'll tell you what I am excited about, though. I logged in and I hit that posture button on those Maghar orcs, and they look real sweet standing upright.
Let's talk about those guys for a second. You're basically getting your brown orcs, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have good posture. Their backs don't hurt. And that's about it, though. They're just orcs, and their racials are kind of boring. They got 10% pet health.
Did you, Scott, a lifelong hunter, just poo-poo pet health as a passive racial?
I think it's great, but it's such a tiny, insignificant amount. It's not really going to do it.
That's 10%.
What, though? Your pets never die unless you're stupid. In the game's current state, like if you'd have told me in 2005, hey, your racials, your pet gets 10% more health, I'd have been elated. But in 2018, this isn't going to do jack for me.
What if I told you as a human being I'm adding 10% to your lifespan? I mean, I feel like you'd be pretty excited about that. I don't know why you're hating on the pet health.
It's just such a tiny non-number in the game sense. Like, there's others. And across the board, like a lot of these racials are just kind of, they're all right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, I don't enjoy the flat increases on a thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's much cooler when it's like, you've got, you can summon your own banker and you can do, here's an extra utility thing. These guys are extra useful in this specific area. when it's like, oh, you're actually, if you want to play a tank, you should be this race. Mm. If you want to play a magic user, you should be this race. That just cuts down your choice. Like, you don't want that.
No, I understand.
I have never played the game that way anyway, so it doesn't really bother me.
Not really.
I think exactly that is true, but I think it just feels bad to be like, you know, these guys are better, you know, like the Nightfallen, they've got extra magic ratios, don't they?
Yes. Let's see. Nightfallen.
I'm on a phone, so I can't Google it.
No. hold on. Nightfallen. Fallen. I knew what these were before and I'd forgotten them. Hold on. Let's see. Nightfallen racials.
I mean, they're making some of the current racials worse too. I mean, basically all my horror tunes, I have a lot of them at this point, are blood elves, and the change to Arcane Torrent does not elicit anything positive in me.
Yeah, see, it doesn't really get me going either. Okay, here you go. Racials, cantrips, conjure up an Eldritch Grimoire, allowing you to mail access for 1.5 minutes.
So that's cool. So you can access your mailbox on the go. Good racial ability.
Sure.
Useless, but sometimes useful.
Sometimes useful. It's like, oh, did you send me a thing? Yeah. Oh, I'm in a raid. Let me check it real quick. So now, you know, exactly. F the engineers. We don't need your dumb box anymore.
But I like that. It's like, oh, you're an engineer. Cool. I'm a Nightfallen.
Also, I think cool. That cantrip is only for you. I could be wrong, but I don't think anyone else can use it.
But, yeah. You know.
Arcane Pulse, this deals 200% attack power, arcane damage to nearby enemies for 2 seconds, and then snares them for 50%, last 20 seconds. Again, they're okay, but they're not going to upset the balance of the game. So that's why they seem small.
That's good. They're all good.
Yeah.
But don't they have I thought they had a flat increase to spell damage or something, don't they?
Not the Nightborn. They do have inscriptions. Okay. Their inscription skill is upped by 15. Their magical affinity increased by 1%.
So what's that?
Magical affinity increases magical damage by 1%.
Yeah, so there you go. So they're 1% better than any other caster.
1%?
But it's 1%. Why put it on there? Why give them that?
That's my point.
In those bleeding edge guilds, it's like you have to go race change, you have to re-roll, you whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't do that. I don't want to see a load of kill screenshots where all the mages are just, you know, Nightfallen.
Yeah.
All the guilds are Alliance, or, you know, it's just, you know, silly.
Yeah, I just don't think it. I mean, it's a thing you can say and it's a thing you can show, but it's not really going to affect the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, on paper, I think I'm. As salty as I am about Arcane Torrent no longer silencing, I'm in your camp, Terpster. Like, I want it to be almost a little more flavorful, like more of an RPG aspect. Like, I love Shadowmend on Night Elves. Like, mm-hmm. doesn't help me at all, mm-hmm. but I like the flavor of it.
Even if stuff is visual and not, they don't have to go, this doesn't have to be statistical changes to their racials for me. I would just like something more flamboyant, more, isolate that without context, everybody. I'd like something a little more flamboyant, please. But something that just is super cool looking and is unique to that race. And so anytime I do something with a class that normally is kind of just a pew-pew, but when I do it, the heavens open, you know, that would be enough for me. I don't need numbers necessarily. I mean, if they came with those numbers, great. But those are the kinds of things I like. It's like, you know, spell effects affected by weapons in Diablo or something. Or I always go back to the way Diablo does it, and I probably should stop doing that.
That would be sweet. That would obviously be a lot more work, though, because then you start getting into per-class visualizations. As much as I would love that.
Yeah, not in the cards.
You can see that being difficult.
Add-ons have been enabled in the game. So add-ons were previously disabled for beta.
Exciting.
Yeah. Well, mainly it's exciting because the add-on developers get to actually crank, you know, get working on their release candidate stuff. So
yeah, I don't think it's exciting for those of us who are lazy and don't add anything to this game in the terms of add-ons,
right?
But it's exciting for those doing the work.
Yeah, those doing the work. Like, I want deadly boss mods to, or mobs rather, to be completely ready to go at launch day, and in order to do that, they have to get in there and dink with the alpha. So good for them. There's some big changes coming to the island expeditions in this build. A whole bunch of new creatures. They've shifted things around. I won't get into too much detail because it's all kind of boring and not that interesting, except to say it continues to be my most anticipated thing in the game. I cannot wait for that. Island Expeditions, it's like they made it for me, honestly. This is going to be such a more fun way for me to experience this game, that's less grindy than just doing the same dungeons over and over. Very excited about that. You talked about Arcane Torrent no longer silencing enemies, but instead dispels them. How you like that? That's pretty good.
I hate it. I hate everything about it.
Not a fan, eh? That's not going to work for you. Okay. All right. Every once in a while, they throw something we don't like at us. I get it. And now every man for himself has a 90-second cooldown with similar effects up from 30 and a 3-minute cooldown up from 2.
This I love.
Yeah. It's probably the right nerf. You'd call that a nerf, wouldn't you? Yeah, it's a nerf.
Yeah,
definitely not a buff.
Substantial.
It is substantial. When stuff like this happens in Heroes of the Storm, I get really pissed. But when it happens in WoW, I don't care as much. It's like, oh, it went from 90.
Because you don't PvP in WoW, whereas Heroes, is that's all you do.
Yeah.
So these things all affect PvP.
That's a good point.
And it's good. They're making some kind of weird changes around PvP. And I don't quite know what they want WoW PvP to be. I think they want it to be slower so you can understand it more when you're watching, which I don't know if that's the right thing or not. It's a very confusing thing to watch, even for people who play WoW, let alone kind of just people who just want to watch some form of competitive gameplay. I just don't know if it's going to be as good.
Mm. Well, I mean, that's the thing they run up against all the time. It's been the challenge with WoW PvP since the beginning. What can you do to take a game that is primarily a world and quest and explore and earn and gear and blah, 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 and all that, and then make an aspect of it really compelling? It's like it needs its own game, like MOBAs. like there's other games that just are going to inherently be better and more focused at this, and it's not to diminish some people's love of PvP in the game. I know there are people out there who love it, but I just... It doesn't seem to matter what they do to it. It doesn't bring me back usually. I guess we'll see this time. But
I think it's fair to say that it's always been a challenge for the design of World of Warcraft. I mean, whether or not you like it or not, I mean, there's tons of people who do. It was a big part of my World of Warcraft play for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I admittedly don't really do it that much anymore, and it's mostly because of Heroes of the Storm. But I don't know. I'm always excited for new PvP stuff, but for me, it's... I don't know. I don't think I'll ever be as excited about it as I was when Winter Grasp was a thing.
Yeah, that's kind of my impression as well. I don't know. We'll see.
Battlegrounds are cool.
Back in the day,
Battlegrounds are big and visual. There's objectives.
Sure.
You see, like, oh, they've hit this phase. Good. You know, it's you're seeing people do something en masse, and it's a bit PvE. The best thing that competitive stuff that Blizzard does as a broadcast is the dungeon races. Mm-hmm. They're great. Yeah. Seeing two teams race through a dungeon. You can easily see who's winning based on, you know, if they've killed the guy before the other guy. Right. And then if they all die, you know, there's still excitement, but without the minutiae of like, oh, that's a great use of that interrupt there. Oh, that guy's now on cooldown. They've got 15 seconds. Yeah, it's just, ugh.
Yeah.
It's such a good translation for the at-home audience because, I'm kind of speaking in generalizations here, but the majority of World of Warcraft players I know who are passionate about the game are passionate about PvE, are passionate about dungeon runs and raids. That's the way that they play this game. So, like, God, they got my wife to watch esports.
Yeah.
Like, it blew my mind. Like, the first Mythic Dungeon Invitational last year, I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. It was a Sunday, and all of a sudden, Katie's, like, bringing out, like, Super Bowl snacks, and we sat there for hours just watching this because it was the World of Warcraft that we know, that we play.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing they did there. I think that focus was a smart one, certainly just from an audience perspective, but there's always going to be people that want to run around and kill each other. I remember the first Battleground I ever played. I don't even know what it was. It was probably the Capture the Flag thing. And I remember thinking, how cool is this? All these people in the same place fighting it out when normally it's just a troll I got to kill and he just stands there and takes it until he dies. But now it's like this dynamic... human controlled, human thoughts, you know, like this is a big deal. So I just remember being blown away by that in 2005 or whenever they finally launched PvP in the game, because it did come after launch. And then I don't know what happened. Probably the rest of the world kept moving forward with multiplayer experiences that were more dynamic, were more, I don't know, whatever, just kind of gave me that same sense or that same feeling without feeling like it was kind of crammed in, and now it just feels kind of crammed in. War fronts are interesting. Like, there's stuff happening with this expansion that could rekindle that for a lot of players like us, but I think what'll probably happen is hardcore PvPers will stay that way and they'll love it and they'll keep going. They'll complain and then Blizzard will tweak and, you know, it'll be all the stuff they always do. And then there'll be most of us who are just like, yeah, I'm good. I'll go raid with my friends and grind out these islands and, you know, we're going to play it like that.
Yeah. That being said, back to Terps's comment, every man for himself was pretty ridiculous for a long time in PvP. So
yeah,
I'm glad that they're bringing it in line.
That's a big nerf. Anyway, we'll see how that goes. Hey, Grimash, Hellscream, somebody data mined a skin. Not a skin, a model. There's a model of Grimash Hellscream. You know, Grom, dad of Gary. Big scary axe and not going to drink the goo in Warlords. So get out of here, whatever the hell his name was. Not Magtheridon. What was his name?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, it was Magtheridon. Anyway, he appears to be in the
Manoroth.
Sorry. Manoroth. That's what I meant. Magtheridon's the guy we all fought in Hellfire.
He wanted you to take my blood and choke on it.
That's right. He had that cool puzzle. Didn't he have the cool puzzle thing with the cubes?
Yeah, he had the Hellraiser puzzles.
Yeah, I liked that. That was a great way to make people do stuff other than
just... I was on the cube. I was a cube guy.
It was my first raid.
Really?
About it.
Oh, that's great.
It was Magtheridon's lair.
That was maybe my.
I remember his sack. He had a beautiful sack. I carried it for many expansions. I think it may still be in my bank.
He did have a big sack. Oh, wait. What am I talking about?
Yeah, it was a large sack. Obviously, he was a great big guy.
So, Terpster is our resident lore man. What do you think this means? Do you think it means anything? Or is it just, there's a model in there? Who cares?
With the orcs as an allied race, mm-hmm. they're coming from Warlords, you know, that alternate Draenor. And so I'm confident we'll see more of Grimash even as time goes on.
Certainly seems to be pointing that direction, right? But it has it been confirmed that it's alternate universe Magar orcs? Because we also found brown orcs when we went to Outland.
No, it's very much they've like Sylvanas talks about basically she describes them almost as she would cannon fodder. And she's like, you know, we've got this, you know, great access to this other army of cannon fodder, and we help them out, so they should come help us out. Mm. So it is, it's warlords, orcs.
Interesting. The brown orcs still hanging out up there in Outland. If you go over there, I guess they don't care though, right? They're just sort of like, whatever.
I don't know with Outland, kind of how much of it is even considered, just because it's so dated now. Yeah. Whereas, you know, other content that's older has been updated. You know, it's not a very pretty place to go to comparatively. And if they update the models in Outlands, it makes it look even worse because it just highlights how bad the other textures are. Mm-hmm. So I think they'll probably just try and forget about it and just continue on with the new leveling. You know, you can skip Outlands. Want to, you can skip the Burning Crusade and go straight to Wrath.
Didn't scale none of the zones in Outland are scaled, are they now? Like none of that.
No, they are. I think so. Yeah.
That's game wide.
But they're part of that. They're part of the bound. So you can do Outlands, Wrath, and Cataclysm, I believe, as up to 90 or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm unsure. It might be up to 80, something like that. Then you go on to. Mists and the rest.
Is it a little bit weird that I kind of want to go to Outlands because I haven't been there in a long time?
It's exactly. It's nice from a novelty perspective and going back there, and you know the Netherstorm is still beautiful to kind of go around. Blaze Edge looks terrible, you can still go to it and enjoy quest content's pretty good. But you know the game obviously always gets better as time goes on.
How's the Mushroom Kingdom hold up? What's it called?
Zangarmash. It's okay.
Yeah,
I hated Zangarmash at level.
Yeah,
like, that was my least favorite.
You can
zone.
Fly. I like. You can fly there, obviously. Which is nice. It makes it all a little bit easier.
Sure, I liked that zone when I first did it because I thought, oh my gosh, giant mushrooms! Like it was very Morrowind. Esque,
yeah,
and
yeah, it's got, it's got Mario.
Yeah, no, not Mario.
Yeah, that as well. Think how big you'd be if you could eat one of those.
Yeah, you'd be the biggest Mario of all time. Let's a go for real. Let's see. Here's an interesting thing that happened, by the way. Actually, I'm going to mix these up. New voice chat in WoW now testing on PTR. So this is not the same old voice chat that they've had in there forever that no one uses ever and was just sort of this like throwaway thing they put in the options. This is more like fully integrated voice chat that you see now in Heroes of the Storm, that you saw in Overwatch, Overwatch being the first really to integrate it, and certainly the stuff you see in the BattleNet.
Well, in the BattleNet launcher, yeah.
Yeah, so, which is what, the BattleNet launcher is usually what I'm launching with voice for any of my games with anyone that I play with on Blizzard games, and probably will be from here on forward. But I do like the idea that that this is coming to this, and that if you're doing an island expedition or running a dungeon or doing a raid or whatever, or you're doing, I don't know, I don't know much about this because they haven't really detailed it too much, but if I'm in a LFR situation, I think one of the benefits is that you could have voice chat. Not that you'd want to. I'm not saying that's going to be a good, fun, non-toxic experience, but
As long as you can mute people easily, I don't see a problem with it. I think if their UI is right and I can just see a player and click on a little icon next to them to bloop, there you go, shut up, then all's good.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it will allow them to raise the difficulty curve of LFR and things like that, because you can assume that there's going to be slightly better, more instant communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've got to type to someone, hey, everyone, move out of the fire, that takes a lot longer than telling them.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually make it a little bit tighter and tune it a little bit more with the assumption that people are going to be able to communicate between each other. So it should make for more interesting, fun gameplay. And maybe we'll make more friends.
Mm.
You know, maybe people will be nicer. Maybe they feel more exposed. It's not necessarily my experience of kind of, you know, public voice chat lobbies, but... Who knows?
Yeah, not mine either. But Garrett, what do you think? Are you going to... Actually,
I don't need it in World of Warcraft.
I
like it in Heroes because it is so highly coordinated. But I don't want to hear anyone in LFR. No, I'm good. I'm fine the way it is.
Yeah.
I want to get in. I don't want to talk to you. And I want to smack some things to death.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I don't even want to do that. I just want to AFK and hope I get some... Like, come on, guys. Come on. It's like two patches old.
That's harder to do anymore. There's too many, like, I don't know. That stuff's all changed to the point where I feel like you cannot coast as much as you used to be able to. You got to actually do stuff and pay attention.
Scott, you have a lot to learn, young grasshopper.
I mean, I know you can worry. You can still kind of coast, but you can, you know, it used to be you could just stand there. Not that I would, but people could just stand there.
No.
Now you can't. Stuff happens on the floor all the time. You got to get your butt out of the fire, and you know, it's just the way it is now.
Just try and die early on in a fight. That's the secret.
Yeah.
You try and die early in the fight. Sorry, guys. Whoops.
And
then, you know, they carry on killing it.
Yep.
You get the loot. Everyone's a winner.
Personal
loot. Hey, my experience, as long as you're not the tank, they don't kick you.
Yeah, you're still there. It's totally fine. All right. This is weird. Not weird, but interesting. You can now send, we've always said that Blizzard hasn't done enough with the way you can gift things to people. Like, it'd be really cool if I could go and gift a hero or a mount or a something in Heroes of the Storm, something more than just loot box gifting or, you know, rando stuff. It'd be cool if I could gift other things. Well, now you can send what they are calling balance gifts to your friends. This is a balance gift. Basically, it's when I first heard it, I went, balance gift? What the hell does that even mean? They mean a balance of money. So it's a weird way to...
Yeah,
Blizz
balance.
Blizz balance. Sure. Balance Blizz.
I like how you describe it as if it's foreign...
It just sounded weird, didn't it?
I was thinking they meant Moonkin. I was like, why am I going to be giving people Moonkin? But no, it's it's like your bank balance, only you've got a Blizzard balance.
Yeah.
And you can give people money.
Why? Like, but why don't they call that something cool? Balance sounds like some Blizz banker.
Bucks.
Blizz bucks.
Because, I don't know. The thing is, it's a gift card, isn't it? It's like, you know, it's a present for people who don't want to think. You know, they thought enough to think, I don't want to give you cash. Because that allows you to that shows firstly I don't care at all.
Yeah.
And I also don't want just to allow you to have some autonomy around this gift. I'm gonna narrow your selection of what you can do to enjoy this present. You may enjoy my gratitude within Blizzard franchises. There you go. Have a Blizzard balance.
Have a balance of Blizzard.
Have some balance.
Yeah.
Have some balance.
Like, I think when you say Steam wallet, I know what that is. If you say, what's another version of this? There's other things like this. PlayStation, I don't know. This is just credit over there. But Blizzard balance, I don't know. It just sounds like a dumb word. It sounds too boring and bankery. I'm way too picky about it. I realize, and it's
What would you want it to be? Though?
Blizzard Bucks.
I want to know.
Blizzard Bucks.
Blizzard Bucks. You really.
Blizzard Bucks sounds like I'm going to Chuck E. Cheese's and saving up for a sweet fanny pack. That's what that sounds like.
I like that.
All right. Well, then, how about Blizzard?
I hope you're good at skee ball, Scott, so you can afford another month of World of Warcraft.
I gotta get more Blizz Bucks. So I can get a plastic spider ring at the counter there.
Yeah, that'd be good. Dakota ring.
Yeah, that'd be good. But I can't think of any other term. Blizzard. Maybe balance is fine. I mean, the chat room suggests. Chat room says
same amount of effort they put in as well.
I'm pretty sure you just lost an argument with yourself.
I might have. It's funny because the word balance keeps coming to my head, but the chat room says battle bucks. That's pretty good. Battle bucks.
I like that.
I'm actually really excited about this. Although I think they did functionality backwards. We do a community tournament 3 times a year on Angry Chicken, and gifting BattleNet balance is the biggest pain in the ass because I have to like go to Walmart and buy gift cards and physically scratch off these damn things and type in the codes.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
So,
so this will help you. This will help you a lot.
Yeah, but this is kind of what I'm saying. It's like it's almost backwards because now, a while ago, they made it so I can just gift Hearthstone packs. So we just started doing that. And so now I'm like, oh, this is cool. This would have been nice if it came before Hearthstone packs, but I'll personally probably never use this now.
Okay, an award goes to Sin City Geek in the chat who says it should be called Metzen Money.
I like that.
Or Morheim money, since Metzen's gone. Morheim money, or you know, whatever.
I like that. Please. You can have different denominations. Like a Morheim could be like 1,000 Blizzbucks.
Yeah.
And a Metzen is 100.
Yeah.
I've got a Pardo, which is
no longer worth anything. Yeah.
But that's exactly
Or you know what? It's unknown. We don't know what its worth is right now.
We don't know how much was wasted on Titan.
Right.
We just call that a Pardo. It was a Pardo. That'd be good.
Hold on. What about what do we do? What do we give Kaplan? Kaplan. That's how much? That's
It's like a 20,
right? Yeah, 20. Yeah. Okay. You'd want it to be quite, common and available.
Yeah, it's like the most commonly used bill, and Kaplan has the most time in front of the camera. So
is a Benjamin, obviously. Yeah. So he would be 100 actually, wouldn't he?
Oh yeah, but that's 100.
Benjamin
yeah.
Broads.
Yeah, Benjamin Broads. That'd be 100. Hold on, what do you got for Chilton? Could be the Chilton copper, or Chilton would be like a copper. He's low end. Anyway, this is all.
The Hazacostas.
No. We don't want to know what that's worth.
Just five. It's good. You want it? It gets you a sweet coffee.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. I'm into this new currency. Yeah. It's our new cryptocurrency, like Blizzard-based cryptocurrency.
Scott's next art project is designing a bunch of Blizzard dollar bill.
I'd do that. Oh my gosh, I would totally do that.
See the new Fantastic. You seen the thing Metzen tweeted out?
No. Oh yeah, beard. Dude.
They literally made it. It looks exactly like Chris. It's crazy.
Yeah. What was the deal here? But we got to find this. Hold on a second. Chris,
it is uncanny if you haven't seen it.
Twitter.
He tweeted it out yesterday.
Yeah.
Metzen doesn't tweet that often.
No, so very rarely does he get in there and tweet at all. And so what this is, I guess, is there's an upcoming comic or something where it's kind of a more painterly rendition of the Fantastic Four. And dude, freaking Mr. Fantastic is Chris Metzen. Like, that is so weird.
It is 1-to-1.
Yeah.
It's a shame, really, because he's a massive Captain America fan. Imagine him being like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, I prefer like if they did like a Nomad arc. Maybe he looks a bit more Metzen-y than that.
Yeah.
You know, but you can't win them all.
Put it side by side with his Twitter picture. It's the same angle.
Yeah. I don't know. There could be some tomfoolery going on. Somebody actually used Metzen as their model or something, but. If not,
he might have posed for it. Don't know.
He could have. Never know.
Sorry, Chris. Could you put your arm 200 feet to the left? I'm trying to get this fantastic thing. Yeah.
Could you stretch your neck all the way through this building? Thanks.
Yeah. Could you do a loop de loop with your balls? It's like sweet. Yeah, I can
That's
do that.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. So there's that. That's a fun thing. And then I had just a philosophical question for you guys about the mounts we're seeing come out of Battle for Azeroth. Previews and stuff, or they're releasing new mounts with every patch. There's bumblebees, There's a parrot. You can ride around on a parrot.
Sky Captain Krags.
Totally. There's all sorts of stuff like that.
There's the Hive Mind, which is basically the brain from Alduar when you're killing Yogg-Saron.
Yeah.
But the more people who are on the Hive Mind together in a raid, the faster you all go.
Oh, wow.
So you have to join the Hive Mind. It's like a cool mechanic as well.
Wow.
I like it.
Is that true? Is that real? Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I missed that about it. I saw the design. Yeah. I went, okay, well, that's
Look at this. Multi-sea flying mount, linked to Hive Mind, being in attuned. Oh, my God. Joined Hive Mind. Joins with the target, a member of your Hive Mind, limited to outdoors, following normal vehicle runs to increase its movement speed. Stacks higher based on number of players. That's nuts.
How, what's
going to be cool, man.
What's the stat? Like, how, what's the max? That has to be an upper limit,
That's what we got to find out. I don't know. It's probably 40. It's probably going to be, like, raid-based. But if it's not group-based, it's just in a zone. Wow. Oh. Trying to get everyone to fly in the same direction. Come on, guys.
I now want them to make it where there's no cap and the model just gets bigger and bigger to accommodate more people sitting on it.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was a, if you didn't have your own mount and it was a democratized sort of like, I want to go forwards. So I'm pressing W and we're going to see if enough of us press W, we're going to go forwards.
Yeah.
But like so, Twitch plays. Wow.
So, but
the mount,
but I'm not wrong in noticing. So this even adds to my, my theory here. They've gone a little nutty with mounts this time around. And it's not even like they're on some other planet or in the dream world. It's not like we have an excuse to get weird. They just have gotten weird. I'm not saying this is even a bad thing. But
WoW is pretty weird anyway. But I mean, yeah, there's a lot of the updated horse models are the most steroid-ridden horses you've ever seen. And so I think with all of it, they're doing art passes. They're making things look beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's about what they're building. The new Blood Beasts, they look incredible. But I'm guessing we're going to be fighting like trolls or like Alduin kind of guardians on top of these things or just these things as mobs. So they're like, sweet, slap a saddle on it. That's a mount. Boom. Mm-hmm. You know, just anything. Just in the art room, you got Chris Robinson's just in there saying, what you got, Bumblebee? Put a saddle on it. That's a mount. You know?
Oh, these
what
really
you got, Gopher? Put a saddle on it.
These really are massive, these new horses. Jeez. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know. Intimidatingly so. I wouldn't want to mount up on one of those.
Yeah, they're buff.
You know, so they're like, and they're, you know, they skip leg day a bit. They're very front heavy, but I haven't seen a horse in a long time. That might be what they look like.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's very curious.
I am ecstatic about the frog and hyena mounts.
Oh, yeah.
Because the frog's from the lower, so they made a frog like, and it's apparently where Murlocs ascended. The thought is that the Murlocs started as like spawn of this frog lower that then got, I don't know, Well of Eternity. You put some magic on it, some crap. But they, you know, it looks amazing and you kind of quest alongside him in the game. But now you get to hop around on him and his mount special, his tongue comes out. It's brilliant.
Mm.
You know, that's a little,
I'm all in.
Little fly.
All in on that
guy. Oh my God, I'm just now seeing the hippo for the first time.
Yeah, the hippo. Mm. Forgot about the hippo.
Giant dinosaur, like this patch is this expansion's like Tundra Mammoth and Yak is a giant like Mementiosaurus.
Mm-hmm.
That's the dinosaur with the longest neck.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot.
Well
of things
done,
about dinosaurs.
Jeez. Yeah, that's impressive. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
My daughter's got a Lift the Flat book on dinosaurs, so I can answer a lot of things about dinosaurs now.
Great. You've
well,
seen
the Titanosaurus, its femur was 2.4 meters. It's the biggest dinosaur bone ever discovered in 2015.
That's really amazing. You've seen all the Jurassic Parks as well, so you're fully...
I have seen all of the Jurassic Parks. Yeah. And I've met Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, that's so right, you bastard. What was that? Was that as a... what's the word? It just seems sublime to hang with him.
He was cool. He is the most surreal person. You know, you're talking to him and he's like, you know, let me think,
there's a lot of hands.
Kevin Costner, and you're like, what? Yeah, you're like an old Kevin Costner. Old. All right, Jeff, thanks. Yeah, you know.
Wait, he said you were, he called you an old Kevin Costner? He called you
Well, yeah, he called people names. I'm not going to say what he called me. It was off camera. It was very flattering. He said to us as well that he's kind of, ever since playing Ian Malcolm in Jurassic Park, he's kind of become more Ian Malcolm.
Mm.
And like he was saying, like even down to the clothes he wears now, he's like, you know, this is basically what Ian Malcolm would wear. He's just, that's what he's about.
That's hilarious. Crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, go
He's extremely on brand.
Oh,
as
yeah.
a human being.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. His yes. brand is, and it feels genuine, so it doesn't feel like I'm getting some fakery there. I feel like I'm getting a guy who's a little quirky and
lot of quirky. Yeah. And he'll talk about his band all the time.
Yeah.
He plays at Rockwell's in LA. So check it out as a jazz bar. He plays keys.
Oh.
He plays every Thursday or something like that.
Really?
Literally, if you ever meet him, he will tell you about this. He told everyone about his band. I think it's like a lot of actors. They're in a band, aren't they?
Yeah.
They've got a bit of downtime on the set. They start playing a musical instrument. Maybe they join with some of the other downtime actors. And then they start thinking that, I'm really ridiculously famous for this thing.
Mm.
Maybe I should pretend it's for this other thing, which I somehow prefer. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're an actor, not a musician.
A lot of guys do that.
They're slashy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot, I feel like it's like Kevin Bacon and him and... Who else? The Jared Leto guy?
Johnny Depp, Steve Martin.
Yeah, Jared Leto. Yeah, Steve Martin. Wow.
Steve Martin's good. He's actually, I'm not much of a banjo guy, but.
Still, I'd rather see him in a film than play the banjo.
Yeah.
But that's me.
Yeah, that's kind of his main thing.
Or like a stand-up and stuff like that. Exactly. I kind of want him for what he was famous for. He's very good at that.
He used to play banjo while doing stand-up. So
that's true.
A compromise we would meet. Maybe that's it. I book him for a banjo gig and I'd say, oh, I'm really sorry, Steve. The PA system's down, so you can still play it.
Sure.
But we've only got a microphone, so if you just want to just do some stand up, just so that people who bought tickets aren't pissed off,
Is there a budget equivalent to that? Can we get Mets in to make some more Blizzard art while simultaneously penning a script for a Transformers comic?
That'd be great. I'd be into that.
That would be it.
Yeah.
It is though. Elite Tour and Chieftain. You got to look at that. It's like, why are you? It's like, well, we love playing music. Yeah, yeah, I know, but yeah, why you? You're game designers, though, aren't you? That's what people want from you, is to make more games.
Sure.
I disagree. Yeah. I really miss ETC.
You want a new album?
BlizzCon. I really miss it. I genuinely miss Samwise
they,
rocking
I think the reason they don't do it is because they haven't done any new songs.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's just that whole thing. What I wanted them to do is to reform as a Alliance-themed barbershop quartet.
Mm-hmm.
And so they all come up in the kind of the pinstripe, red and white, then da-da-da-da, and all that and then they stop halfway through and go like, no, well, we could for the horde, and then they rock out, it'd be beautiful.
That's
never, play all their own favorites.
It's never gonna
happen. Like most bands fail because of that one person that doesn't show up to practice, and I'm trying to decide who it is at ETC. I think it might be Morheim. He just doesn't show up to practice anymore.
Yeah,
he's a bassist.
Yeah,
well, that's right. He's a bassist. Like, I'm gonna throw some shade. We don't need you. We can just get the other guitar player to play bass. It's
right,
fine.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
At the very least, at least it created Garrett's favorite all-time Heroes of the Storm player, ETC. Your all-time favorite.
And DeBerry, who heads up.
That's just untrue. But sure.
I know. See. I remember this. You don't like ETC. Or at least you didn't. You used to have kind of an active hatred for him, but.
In the early days when Mosh Pit was just problematic and there weren't enough heroes to deal with it. Now I'm playing quite a bit of ETC, but I would not call him my favorite.
Yeah. Zagara still? She's still your lady?
Uh-huh. Zagara till the day I die.
Yeah. That's kind of how I am with Stukov currently. I love him so much. Well, all right. There's all that stuff. How about a little look at what else is happening around Blizzard? Oh my gosh, you guys, so many other things. Heroes of the Storm got Deckard Cain on the PTR this week. He is pretty great. I like him.
Quite a treasure.
Yeah, he's awesome. Pooping out health vials is pretty rad. I like support, so I'm into him and what he brings to the game. So excited to see him in the wild and see how he actually does outside of a PTR, but seems cool. My only bummer problem with Deckard at all is that his introduction just felt lackluster given the I don't know how huge that could have been of an announcement to have Deckard Cain on deck. And instead
he died to a butterfly, in all fairness, Scott. It's tough to have this reverence around him. He was a big deal, but basically what you have is the hellscape equivalent of a librarian that you've then been like, okay, we're going to put him in the game with all of the fantastical personalities in Blizzard titles. And, he's much loved, but... Yeah, his abilities is like he has the Lornado. I mean, Lornado is an amazing pun.
It's pretty stupid.
Well done to Blizzard for that one.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'll be interested to see kind of how much personality he has alongside all those other characters.
Yeah. He wonder if he sees Brightwing and goes, ah! Just because she's a.
Exactly. I mean, good. Yeah.
Probably.
You remind me of the guy who killed me.
Yeah. Oh, they need that. Yeah, that needs to be an interaction. Yeah. If he starts to give it Brightwing, he just, he's like, I'm keeping my eye on you, fairy dragon.
He's got to do that. Anyway.
I don't trust anything with such colorful wings.
You know, everyone I know does a pretty okay Deckard Cain. Everyone I know.
Because it's everyone's bad impression of
Sean
an old
Connery,
person.
Isn't it? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Stay a while. It's just Sean Connery. Slow down a bit. You know, easy.
Hearthstone, where's the Monster Hunter mode? I'm bumming down.
Next week.
Oh.
Next week. 26. Yeah.
Well, how come you say, how come they said, hey, this is a part of this expansion, and then you got to wait
a
week? Come
on. I know. It's because last time we all crashed the servers, everything stopped working at launch because everyone was playing the single player mode. Mm. And so they were like, okay, well, let's space it out a bit. And equally, they introduced in this last video the whole of the dungeon design team. So there's like three of them. And I imagine it's you know, it's still quite a logistical nightmare for them to try and get it all ready, because they got to do three a year like the rest of the teams. But there's only a few of them.
Yeah, it's good that it's coming though.
I missed the announcement too. I was on the right before last week's show. I'm like, oh, hey, wait a minute, where's Dungeon Run? And Joss is like,
literally, I went straight into single player. And when I loaded it up after, it's like, you know, which one's that? It's like in single player. No, it's not here. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I guess I'll put 70 packs.
And I was the complete opposite. I never hit the button.
Open all button. That's what I need.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they need an open all button. I agree with this. I had 70 packs too because I did the pre-order. And I went and opened them and it took me forever and they were kind of boring and I don't enjoy them.
Exactly. I just want to see like, wah! Yeah. Three legendaries. Like, oh, cool, amazing. Yeah. And that's it. And you just scroll through afterwards. Oh, amazing. I would buy more packs if I didn't have to open the packs.
There is something to be said though. Like Garrett went and did them all individually like you do on his stream and the stream loved it. And you know, people came in there and you get donations for that and all that stuff. So like, it's a big, cool thing to do. And so I think the option should be there, but I would like it if I'm going to do this on my own and I buy 20 packs, have an option that just says open all damn 20 and just go.
Hey, I would still like that. Like on the back half. All right. I've already opened like 150 packs one at a time. I'm going to buy another stack and let's just blow it all up.
Yeah. Now I will say this as a person who A, sucks at Hearthstone and B, you know, hasn't invested like others have in it, so that's partly why I suck. But also,
now's the best time to get back in.
It's a pretty good time to get in. So I did the 70 car or the 70 packs thing, and I will say that because of everything I got there, and that I prefer to stay in standard, and I'm not interested in wild really. I was able to build a lot of some of the early first week, second week decks people were touting. I had them. I had the cards. Shockingly, in a couple of cases, I had to go, you know, dust them, but I had the dust too. So it was surprising to me how I was able to. The thing I always complain about is getting behind in this game.
But that's the beauty of now. And they gave an extra 20 packs on that pre-order purchase.
Right.
So that was like an extra 40% on what you purchased versus previous ones.
Yeah.
Plus, with it being a rotation month, we're down to less cards in the card pool. Then with the new deck archetypes of odd and even, if you're making an odd or an even deck, you've got half the number of cards to pick from. And I love it. It feels like I play like, you know, standard has like standard different rotations within it, depending on like if I'm playing odd or even, it's completely different cards.
Yeah.
And so you come across all these different things. It's really fun. And some of the new cards, you know, they're just really cool to play with. Shudderwalk is still terrible. I just hate how long it takes. Mm. It's a persistent problem in Hearthstone. Animations take too long, and it's just one of those things where, again, a bit like opening packs, I kind of like, if I'm going to lose to a card, I would feel better not having to sit through 5 minutes of it. Mm. I'd much rather it just like, boom, there you go, you're dead. Or like, you know, this guy, you lost, you know, 12 health and he healed for 12.
Yeah.
And I mouse over and it shows me, okay, he used that three times and this, that. You know, I just think there would be a more elegant way of doing it.
I like Flourish in these games and I love Blizzard Flourish, but it sometimes, yeah, there are times where you're like, okay, enough on that particular bit of Flourish. But I don't know, Hearthstone's so much about that though, you know? Like, how do you get away
from it? I usually have more critiques of, like, new expansions when they hit, but right now, like, overall, I really like it. The only thing I'm scratching my head about is how did the shutter walk animation hit the game in the state that it's in? That's the only thing. It's a big one, because I don't get it, but...
Sure.
Yeah. The deck's also doesn't have that good of a win rate, though.
So. No, that's the problem, which makes me worried that they won't fix it. But it's not about win rate. It's about how does it feel to play against that deck.
Yeah.
And playing against that deck, even if you're going to beat it, you might as well concede because of how long it's going to take if they draw that card.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, I just don't want to. I just can't be bothered. I'd rather take the loss. I'll take the hit on the win streak.
Right.
I'll just go play against some more kind of odd paladin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to play against this animation. Oh, how long?
Oh, actually, Garrett, can you clear something up for me? Somebody, I was having an argument with somebody on Twitter who was, because I was suggesting.
Does it sound like you, Scott?
I was suggesting that, actually, lately it isn't. I don't really do this much anymore. But I said, I had made the comment on a show somewhere that some deck was like 70% win rates or something, and the ones I was trying, but I was still not winning with them, blah, blah, blah. And somebody piped in and said, and I'd made the comment, I bet that Blizzard would prefer that every combination of deck that anyone would ever use, it'd be great if everything was just a 50% win rate across the board, like you do in Heroes, like you do in Overwatch, like competitive games, that's what you're aiming for. You don't want somebody to be OP, and when they get OP, you start getting nerfs. Is that wrong in Hearthstone, or is it different there? Okay.
It is black and white wrong because they would have to readjust the way that their ladder works. If the goal was 50-50, you would never go anywhere once you get past rank 5 because there's no more win streaks.
That's a good point.
Often it's 75% is a kind of a solid deck that will take you through to Legend.
75% is extremely solid. The goal 5 plus is 55%. Like if you look for averages on how many games you need to win, they usually use 55% as a baseline. And Scott, I think you're using Hearthpwn for your decks, right?
I did for a while. I really like the new, what's that new one called?
HS Replay?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Okay, all right, cool. That's the one I'd recommend.
Is that the better one?
Yeah, it's
awesome.
A lot
of times, like, if you're looking at decks on Hearthpwn, like, you don't know how many games the people posting their decks there have played, whereas HS Replay is just raw stats.
Right. Plus, it also, it also feels like a thing where someone can just go, they could just slop something together and then post, this Face Hunter deck is 80% for me.
Still the reality is if everyone plays that 80% deck, then I play the thing that beats that deck.
Yeah. Right.
And then I then have an 80% ridden weight because I'm just playing against all these things. And then everyone's like, oh, all I'm playing against is this thing that beats Face Hunter. I'm now going to play the thing that beats the thing that beats Face Hunter.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how Hearthstone works, is that the meta is basically just kind of what are people playing. And so often you'll see it would be the big streamers and stuff like that would be playing a deck and they'd be doing well, which then means that other people are going to play that deck because they've seen it played, they know how it's played, and they've seen that it's good. And so then a good thing for you to sometimes do is to play the thing that beats that deck.
Yeah.
You can do quite well there. Or at the moment, just Q-Block. Just still, Q-Block is super solid.
Yeah.
You look at the win rates, it tends to be, aggro paladin is doing really well, but just Q-Block. And Spiteful now. Spiteful is amazing because of the rotation change. If you're pulling out a station or a pyroblast, you're a 10 mana spell, you've got like a 1 in 5 or 2 in 5 chance of getting a 12-12.
Hmm.
And one of those is Tyrantus, which is a 12-12, can't be targeted with spells.
Yeah.
So if you get one of those on turn 6, GG. You've won that game, really.
It's pretty gross. It's
very hard to do anything against it.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to be playing against the answer is you're an even paladin and you thankfully haven't used your equality yet.
Yeah.
Or you just got enough of those shielded taunts that my 12-12 might as well be a 1-1.
You're not wrong. The meta is pretty self-correcting because of the nature of the ladder and you don't know what you're going to go up against. Like everyone ends up favoring just better win rates over hard countering, because at a certain point, if you're hard countering but you have bad matchups against the majority of other classes, and your goal is to climb, you kind of need to adjust that. And that's why the meta usually ends up settling the way that it does.
Yeah.
But that's really rad, Scott. I'm happy to hear that you have a lot of decks, like meta decks, that you can build even though you haven't played for a while.
Yeah.
And something I feel I've noticed with this, and there's definitely you know, even an odd paladin is the exception to what I'm about to say, but a lot of the decks that I'm looking at right now, it seems like their strength comes from, or the reason that they are built the way that they are because of cards that left, not as much because of cards that were added. Like looking at Spiteful Druid, one of the most winningest decks right now, the majority of these cards aren't from the new set.
By the way,
it's just thinning out what you're drawing and stuff. Spiteful had a huge bump in power level because it used to be you'd summon a load of 10 costs like Old Gods, which are spec'd terribly because they're battle cries. You're getting a much better, more consistent tool, and it's still a very good deck with a lot of other utility. I think Hearthstone's in a lovely place at the moment, and come Thursday next week when the new mode drops, holy moly, that's going to be amazing.
Yeah,
cannot wait.
It'll be great. One quick thing I would say is a weird little bug that happened to me when I launched it. Very first launch, I went and made a deck, did some little homework, thought, okay, what am I going to do here? Open all my packs, got in by default, and it wasn't this way before, but for some reason, the default when I first launched to get into ladder play, it was set to wild. And I didn't pay attention to that. So I hopped in these games with wild players and got my ass handed to me like six games in a row with cards I recognized as being super old. But there's no big indicator on screen telling you, hey, by the way, you're accidentally in a wild game.
Yeah, I think it's got a lot of vines around the screen, but if you're not used to the UI...
Yeah, I don't ever go in there. So
looks like, yeah.
It just looks like, oh, they made a new thing. Oh, that's right, because they got vines like choking everything. And in my head, I'm going, oh, that's just a cool design. They've changed this.
The Witchwood. You're thinking, oh, cool, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of where my head was at. So I'm losing all these games, and I finally get out into the main thing where I'm about to start another one. I go, wait a minute, and I click the icon and takes me back to standard. I'm like, what the hell, dude? Don't freaking default wild. Why would that even be a thing? That doesn't make any sense to me. I didn't change it. I didn't click it. Not even by accident. I don't know what happened, but it pissed me off. I will say, though, having more fun this time than ever, and I think it's because that was a generous deal they made people. They really did. Those extra 20 cards made a difference for me.
I think they need to. Yeah. I think that's what they've discovered is that they've had numerous pushback, and they still will. But this helps. Mm-hmm. But about the game being very expensive. And it is an expensive game. It's a CCG, though, which are expensive games. Mm-hmm. You know, they're expensive, digital or not. And so I think that they're still making a huge amount of money, but they've realized that they can probably make more money by giving more stuff away.
Right. Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
I agree. If you feel you're getting more value, you're more inclined to actually buy.
I don't know why suddenly that was so loud. It's really loud. Sorry, technical issues here, everybody. All right, moving on. Speaking of Overwatch, that music was not supposed to play. So there's still the thing, their event going on. There's new skins, blah, blah, blah. Same old Overwatch, but I had a question that we've been throwing around a little bit back and forth. And Terpster, we haven't had you here, so I wanted to throw it at you. Has the game gotten too much esports and not enough game? Clearly the focus is right now very much on OWL and making that succeed and fulfilling that promise and making that investment worth it and all of that. They seem to be doing okay with it. However, I don't know I don't want to speak for everybody, but I can definitely I have the sense that they've pulled back from world building and, you know, we haven't heard about any new animated stuff coming out.
I think they're in a bit of a quiet period for the game.
Yeah.
There hasn't felt like there'd been much or many fresh ideas coming to the game. They've got a new map coming out in the PTR, the Italian one,
yep.
It was called.
Yeah.
But for me, it's, you know, I don't know. I don't play that much Overwatch anymore. Mm. I'm spoiled with Hearthstone. You know, we get three substantial updates a year. We've got all this other stuff. It's always each month there's more fun and challenge. I don't know. I think it's still, I mean, it's an amazing game to watch, but it's, yeah, I'm probably the wrong person to ask. You know, I'd much rather watch a Hearthstone tournament than Overwatch League.
Yeah, this is weird to say, but I think I'm in the same boat. And I actually still really enjoy playing the game, but what I like is them to apply the Blizzard method to the game. And you know, like at BlizzCon, we got that. We got the Reinhardt thing, and it just started feeling like things were a little bit more robust in terms of their interest in keeping going down the path of this is more than just a competitive multiplayer shooter you'll watch as an esport. This is also this world and these characters, and we're going to go places with this and do things with this. And, you know, they also, they got dinged by this Fortnite popularity. Not so much, not as much from the PUBG popularity at the time, but the Fortnite stuff really dug into their bottom line, according to analysts. You know, you got a lot of people playing Fortnite that would otherwise might be playing Overwatch. I can tell you that's true of my kids. They all are huge Overwatch fans, and right now they are playing Fortnite like it's going out of style, just constantly playing Fortnite. So there's a potential revenue loss there. There's a shift in gamer desires or whatever, and so...
Have you played the Fortnite or Battlegrounds mobile apps?
I have. So, by the way, you should have told PlayerUnknown how pissed I was, because they have you play bots for the first three matches, and they don't tell you. So you go in there, and you think you're awesome. You're, like, number one at the end of that game. You're like, dude, I just won on a
winner,
phone.
Winner, baby!
Yeah. I went and tried.
Congrats for chicken! Yeah, he's coming home!
I put it on Twitter. I made a huge deal out of it. I had a screen grab. And then everybody's sending me these things going, yeah, it's bots. Yeah. They're doing bots. I'm like, gosh, yeah, dang it, dude.
Yeah, they're terrible.
It's embarrassing for two reasons. One, I didn't recognize that they were bots. And two, it's like, come on, man. So
you bragged about it.
Yeah, I'm mad at them. But I actually do okay
in those games.
But
those mobile apps, I mean, the control scheme's actually pretty good on them. And the fidelity and all the rest is very impressive. And you start thinking, like, we're starting to get to that point where you could conceivably play and enjoy these games on mobile. Mm-hmm. And it's the sort of thing where that has certainly helped explode popularity. Fortnite, I don't know quite how they've managed it, but it's a free-to-play game. And if you buy something on the mobile app, you equally get that unlocked across all platforms.
Yeah.
And so for if you imagine, you know, this is the, you know, I play Diablo on the PC, I cannot play my PC character on the console versions because of platform restrictions and the rest.
Yeah.
That feels archaic when you compare it to what Fortnite's achieved on the mobile stuff.
Yeah.
But anytime you bring something to a more accessible, available platform, you introduce it to vastly more players, and you get it to be more exciting. Kids at school, what are they playing? They're playing Fortnite because everyone's playing Fortnite. You know, they want to play what their friends are playing, and they want to be part of that new hotness.
Yeah.
You know, if Overwatch released an accessible version of Overwatch, I mean, the reason Overwatch did so well was because it was on console as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, people have games consoles that can play games, and so then you want to play what your friends are playing. You want to play with your friends, and you want to keep up with your friends. Mm-hmm. And I think that Blizzard, you know, is working on mobile titles. I don't think, from what I understand, it's anything close to that sort of level of fidelity or gameplay, but I'm sure they're big enough and skilled enough to do that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know either, but it's interesting to watch. And I don't know, that Fortnite. I think you write books about Fortnite. It's weird how that thing happened. Mm. Well, that's it for what's happening right and around Blizzard this very moment. But we have one final thing to do, and that's play this. Here we go.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
All right, we got an email here from George, who says, it's not George Blizzard, who shares an office with
them. No, Jorge.
Yes. It's George Evans, who wrote into theinstance@gmail.com. You all at home can do the same, and we'll read your emails right here on the show. He says, love the show, been listening since you first started. I have a question. Why are so many people hating Archmage Khadgar? Why the shit wizard label? He has been helpful. He popped up in a bubble one time and is giving me good advice. And also, what has happened to him? Where has he gone? Keep up the good work, George. I love this email because...
It's a good one, isn't it? Yeah. I don't think anyone hates on Khadgar, though. Do they?
No, I love Khadgar.
He's that endearing shit wizard. Yeah.
Whoa. Garrett, wait. Why? What's your hatred from? What's the deal?
They made him too goofy. They Thor Ragnarok'd him. He's too much of a joke. I want my wizards to be epic.
Look at you with your serious bone. I get it, though. I see what you're saying.
There are enough gags in World of Warcraft. I don't need, like, the crux of my arc of the expansion to be making dad jokes the whole time.
They've got steamed hams in there now. They've gone full MAME. Yeah, I think Khadgar's great. I love Khadgar. Where's he gone? He's basically, I think he's hung up his stave just being like, you know what? Are you honestly fighting each other after all we've been through? You know what? Screw you guys. I'm out of here. But actually, I don't know, because in-game, have people used their artifact weapons to suck the power out of Sargeras' sword yet? Have we done that yet? I haven't, but I don't know. Has it been done yet?
I don't think it's been done yet.
Because he uses Atiesh as well, I believe, in that process. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if, much like our artifact weapons become sort of nullified or, you know, we move on, whether or not his super awesome staff is now screwed. I don't know. We will see. But
I like him.
You know, they've got to hang him up, though, because we've had him since be front and center. And so it makes sense that he's had two expansions where he's been a key part of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's give him a bit of room to breathe and he can come back and heroes. We need to do some more crazy stuff. I'm like, okay, Doc Brown, let's do it.
Yeah, he's
When you put it like that, now if I think about him,
now
it's
you
Doc
like
Brown.
Him, don't you? Exactly.
I'm yeah, now like you're him. Back no, in.
If they did it, if they didn't have the Stargate guy doing it, and they got Christopher What's-His-Face, yeah. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah.
I like it. Great Scott! <Sure. laughs> Sargeras has returned! Yeah! Oh, God! Khadgar, I don't know! We can defeat him, Khadgar!
This is your Marty yeah. McFlyer doing there.
Yeah. It's your artifact. Yeah, something's got to be done about your artifacts, Marty.
Yeah. I love it. Okay, now we know what brilliant. To do. Now we know what to do with the shit wizard. He needs to be a Doc Brown.
Yeah. No, my favorite, I like Khadgar. I love him as a lore character. Like, but my favorite version of him is like what we got in those animatics leading up in a Legion, like him in the library of Karazhan and just having just D&D awesomeness. Like, that's what I want.
He was badass. In the
movie, he was a ding-dong.
As well.
Yeah.
He was fantastic in the audio drama.
Yeah.
You know, all of those things. Really, and he's always, using making an arcane elemental to do such. And it's like, do it. Yeah, I like it.
Cool. Yeah. A little more serious fantasy.
You're
all
excited. Oh, it's like Infinity War.
Now he's a head in a fishbowl. He is who he is. He's a lovable, fun guy.
Maybe I think we just saw too much of him. He didn't feel as precious because he was just always there, being my fishbowl buddy.
Yeah, he was your tour guide to Legion. He was your guy that said, there's trouble in these mountains, and you'd have to go meet him at the, at the freaking landing point for your mount and go off to your next place. Like, he was always everywhere all the time. And I mean, I'll personally miss him. It sounds like Jaina will be a little more up in things, but maybe more for the Alliance than us.
Exactly. She's Holy Alliance. That's the problem.
Yeah. Whereas Khadgar,
that new Jaina model is the sweetest looking thing.
Oh, it's so cool. It's so good. Yeah.
I cannot wait for Frozen 2. It's going to be brilliant.
Oh my God. You're right. It's the braids. Yeah. It's the braids.
Throwing shade. The braids. That's fine. Send your emails into theincense@gmail.com. That's theincense@gmail.com. Thank you, George, for your email. It's going to do it for the show. With all this Hearthstone stuff going on, best to be listening to The Angry Chicken. Anything going on, Garrett, that we should know about coming up?
I'd love to get some pimpage. Can I just publicly address Patrick, though?
Do it.
Okay.
Yep.
So apparently I've got a tweet sitting here from Patrick, and I apparently hurt his feelings by giving him a little gruff for hitting plat in Overwatch. I would just like to share with him Patrick, just so you know, I was stuck in gold for a while in Heroes of the Storm, and you know how much I care about that game. Mm-hmm. So there you go. You can give me shit about being stuck in gold in Heroes of the Storm. I just hit plat again. I'm really happy about it. Everyone in Twitch chat just laughs at me and is like, scrub. But I'm very proud of it. And you've got a kid, man, and you hit platinum.
Yeah.
I don't have an excuse.
You should be proud of...
he's just neglecting his child. That's all he's got. He's just got a badge you can show.
That's not where I was taking this.
Platinum in Heroes is no joke. It's good. It's a solid place to be. I hit gold 5 this last season. It pissed me off, and I would really like to be higher than that, but I don't know.
Last season in my placements, I saw mid-silver, and nothing wrong if you're down there. I just haven't been there in a while, so I have my own like personal hangups with it, and I was just like, no, I must get better. And then it just turned into a Dragon Ball Z training montage.
There you go. I love that. I like that. Hair get on fire and you create giant... Yeah, exactly.
For an hour.
Yeah. I think the creator of Dragon Ball Z was just...
I was powering up.
Yeah, the creator of Dragon Ball Z was just constipated a lot, is my theory.
But definitely check out Anger Chicken. A lot of Hearthstone talk being had over there. We talked about, I think like 15 different decks on this past week's episode that are, you know, doing pretty well on ladder, and also Shudderwalk Bazinga, because it's not actually doing well on ladder.
All right. Well, there you go then. So check that out, amove.tv, for all the goodness that comes out of Garrett and his pie hole. And his fellow pie holes. He has other people doing cool pie hole stuff with him. All the pie holes.
A lot of good pie holes over at amove.tv.
Yeah, go check it out. Terpster, anything you got in a promote or push or talk or anything at all?
Not really. No, as always, thank you.
Yeah.
That's all I'd like to say there. Thank you.
Well, that's good. Thank you. No, thank you for being here.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
No, please. Thank you. I should pimp French Spin. Patrick's not here, and he relies on that. So
you were on his Pixel show thing. Week. Yeah, it was good. It was good.
We talked about computer games, and so if you want to hear Patrick about computer games, you can check that out. Not Patrick on Twitter. I don't know. Is it Frenchspin still? It is Frenchspin.com. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it pixels.com? I don't know. Anyway, check out. Yeah,
you were very, very prepared for this promotion. Well done. I like it.
Well, I hook a brother up. So that's it's good. Check him out. He does a lot of stuff in French as well, which is great.
Yeah.
Download it, play it on speakers, and pretend that you're cultured.
Well
which
done.
Is what I do.
That's exactly what you should do.
Sacré bleu, eh? Sorry, I'm just into my French stuff.
It's pretty
good. Sorry, you won't understand it because you're not cultured, unlike moi.
Unlike you, and a thing of yogurt. More culture cannot be found ever than you. All right, one quick note before I go. I launched a Kickstarter for a project I'm doing that I've wanted to do since I was a little kid and finally doing it, and that is to design my own deck of playing cards. We blew through the goal in about 3 hours, and that kind of blew my mind, but now we're well into territory where we're adding additional decks, additional artists, additional kinds of art. There's a zombie deck in there. There are poker chip sets. There are all kinds of crap happening that is all custom done. You can see progress on it, and some of the sample cards already up on that page. If that interests you at all, but I just said, go check it out. It's been a long time dream of mine over at frogpants.com/cards. That'll get you there. You can just search for it on Kickstarter. And check it out if that interests you at all.
Make a Uno deck as well, so I can play Uno.
Yeah, I'm sure I can get away with that without a license. I'm just make it.
Just do it in English, because it's in Spanish, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Say, hey!
One, I can just say.
One!
One!
Yeah, exactly. One! Right.
Just call it One!
Yeah, my next game is called One, everybody. I'm pretty excited about it.
Get rid of all your cards.
Watch for it on Kickstarter. One. Coming soon to a Kickstarter near you. That's going to do it for us. Theinstance.net is our webpage. You can go find it and use it and have it. An Instant Show on Twitter. I'm at Scott Johnson. You can find Terpster at the_T, not Patrick for Patrick, and Garrett Art for Garrett. More shows like this at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us, for me.
Scott,
the next episode. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
By the next episode, we would have watched Infinity War.
Oh my gosh! Like,
Can't believe it's happening.
Yeah.
I just don't want to die in the next week. If I die in the next week, I'm going to haunt every single one of you because I will be so pissed off.
Yeah.
Like I just 1 week. That's all I got to live now.
It's going to be huge, dude. It's going to be a gigantic deal, so I'll be seeing it in Vegas, I guess, because I'm going to a TMS Vegas meetup in Vegas. So looking forward to seeing a lot of you folks there. It's going to do it for us. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.